You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government announced a number of potential proposals in order to reach their smoke-free 2025 goal. The 2025 goal was created a number of years ago and aims to have 95% of New Zealanders as non-smokers by the year 2025. While the Labour government had done next to nothing to progress the goal in their first years of leadership, their new potential proposals have been seen as fairly radical. They include reducing the amount of nicotine in cigarettes by up to 95%, creating a smoke-free generation by banning anyone born after 2004 from cigarettes, and banning cigarettes from being sold in many areas. I spoke to Shane Nahu, Health Promotion and Campaigns Manager for the New Zealand Cancer Society. We discussed the various proposals, the importance of supporting people quitting smoking, and the potential impact of vaping in New Zealand society. So to start, could you just tell me briefly what the government's recently proposed to meet the smoke-free 2025 goal?
Yeah, so it's actually put out a range of actions that are going to give us the best chance of getting there. And those actions include things looking at availability of tobacco retailers, looking at the appeal, if you like, and the addictiveness of the actual substance itself, and also looking at how we support better support for people who smoke to quit. So there's a range of options, and they want feedback on where people think are the best options to get us there. So we've got things such as the retail availability, for example, talking about should we go to reducing having a licensing regime, because at the moment there's no regulations at all. Within that, looking at reducing the retailers around on a density model or a population-based model or around schools or even going to a target number across the whole country.
As you say, there's been a number of proposals, but I think one that got some of the most media attention was potentially reducing the amount of nicotine in cigarettes, nicotine obviously being highly addictive. So what's the Cancer Society's thoughts on that plan?
Well, our view is actually reducing the addictive substance is actually a sensible thing to do. The research that we've seen is actually to make sure that it's effective. You've got to reduce that substantially, and you've got to sort of do it quite quickly. And that what that does is that actually really encourages people to really invest in some of those cessation support type options that will work for them, or go work for them. And also it decreases the likelihood of people who don't currently smoke, particularly young people, the likelihood that they'll become addicted. So we're supportive of those bold measures.
Are there any potential concerns that could be side effects of reducing nicotine cigarettes, such as an increase in people vaping?
Well, I think what we would want to be saying is actually this needs to be done in conjunction with ensuring there's enhanced support for people to quit cessation services. So there's a range of cessation tools which help people. Vaping is one of those that works for some people. So, you know, there needs to be a process to ensure that the right support for people, they're getting it when they need it. So I think the important factor is that people who are currently smoking find out the way to help them quit. And if that's vaping, they find out how that works for them and they get the best options for that. But what we know is wraparound support services for cessation are really important and need to be tailored for communities.
One other thing I've seen a bit in the media was there were some concerns that even if you do decrease the amount of nicotine in cigarettes, people end up just buying more in order to get their hit. Do you think this could potentially be an issue?
I mean, those are all valid concerns, and the research just sort of tells us that actually, you know, this is going to help the majority of people. We'll create the best option and way of supporting most people, but there will always be a group of people that will need some additional support. So it's important that there's ways of identifying those people, or that the services that are around them to help them are enhanced for that purpose.
Do you think there are any potential concerns that a sort of black market could form if cigarettes were heavily restricted or even banned?
Well, we're saying that this needs to be done in a phased approach, and so that we get to a point of ensuring there's enough supply for people that are still addicted to cigarettes and smoking. The black market is a concern, and there needs to be ensure there's enhanced enforcement around that, the customs, etc. But that needs to happen. That needs to happen regardless. The other aspect of this is, get to 5%, the actual overall demand is going to diminish anyway. So the black market type approach is going to, if we get to where we want to be, it's going to be less of a demand anyway.
And so ultimately the goal is towards smoke-free 2025. Do you think the government is doing enough to get there, or have they been doing enough?
Well, up until this point, we haven't had a clear plan of action from the government of how they would get there. So the goal was set a number of years ago. But what we have now before us as a government, a suite of government actions that is going to give us the best chance of getting there. So I think looking forward in the here and now, we've now got some really bold actions. We've got enhanced bold actions to get to 2025, and we've got to get as close to 2025 as we possibly can.
Are you optimistic that the proposals will work?
I'm optimistic that they're going to give us the best chance. I think it would have been much better to have a concrete plan with these types of actions in place earlier, but it's what we've got now, and it's going to give us the best chance.
Is there anything else you'd like to see them do?
There's always some further things that need to be considered. I think we've got to embed the key things around accessibility, appeal, and the other area that we, availability and price, are areas that you need to always be looking at as well. We know they're the key factors that change behaviours. So I think let's get these measures over the line, look at those. There's further work that can be done in smoke-free areas, for example, but the measures that are in the plan are the ones we need to really focus on now.
And there's something else I'd like to talk about. So we were talking about vaping before, and obviously it's an alternative to smoking for a lot of people, but I know a number of younger people are now starting with vaping. Is this a concern for the Cancer Society?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think it's a concern not just for the Cancer Society. I think the important thing to remember that vaping is to assist people to quit. It should never be seen as as an option, as a lifestyle choice, for example. So it's vaping to switch, to quit, and then ultimately stop vaping as well. If it's been started by younger people, people who don't already smoke, that is a concern because it's an addictive substance. So that's why the regulations and the legislation we put in place to try and get that balance right.
Has there been much research into the effects of vaping? I assume it can't be great for you, but how much do you know?
There's been research over a number of years. I think what we are compensating is that vaping is less harmful than tobacco, but it's not totally harmless, but it's definitely much less harmful. And so what isn't really clear is the long-term effects, because they haven't really been around as long to identify if there are any other long-term health consequences. But, if they support some people to stop tobacco smoking, that's a positive. They don't work for everybody, but the people that they do work for, we've got to make sure that they're able to access it.
Do you think, and this is a bit of a hypothetical question, but say New Zealand does reach smoke-free 2025, or a point where the vast majority of New Zealand is not smoking, do you think there could reach a point where the same sort of anti-smoking approach is applied to vaping?
I know it's hypothetical. It's difficult to guess what that would look like at this point in time, but I think it's important now to focus on smoking, because we know the harm that 4,500 people die every year from tobacco smoke. So let's address that in the here and now.
That was Shane Nahu from the New Zealand Cancer Society on the government's new proposals in order to meet their smoke-free 2025 goal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.